Punaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 5, Bhagavan is the object of all Vedic knowledge. Page 74. This should be learned from a guru, Jigyasyam, by a person with a desire to experience the secret, Tattva Jigyasuna, about me, Atmanaha, Prema. What is it? It is that which should always be undertaken in all places with rules and prohibitions. Anvaya Vyatire Kabhyam. So in all places with the rules and prohibitions. So one is that having such a wide range of rules and prohibitions, then the Vedic culture gives you an opportunity at all times, places, and circumstances to be able to be to know how to act. At the same time, it can't give every last little scenario you might be in. So you get you understand when learning from the teacher, then you understand the principle you're dealing with, so that then you can make your own application according to each unique situation you're in. Right? But that's the whole idea. Now, why the rules and regulations? Because it's Krishna's energy, and then Krishna in that form wants to be dealt with in a particular way. Right? Because each form is different. You deal differently. Does that make sense? Yes.
The neophytes, when they read rules and regulations,
yes,
trying to follow, it's difficult, but it is possible. But then we're talking about relationship. Sometimes we see it doesn't match the rules and regulation and the personality. So for example, on Dvadasi, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is mentioned, we should do the snan to Shalagrama to the Lord.
But we know, means not after the sunrise, it has to be before.
Before sunrise?
Yeah.
So it's not a problem. If we do it,
no, it just has to be early.
So that is the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule.
Okay.
Why?
Why?
On Ekadasi, are we eating our regular diet? No. Since Dwadasi is when you can break that diet, are we inspired to, you know, go back to our regular diet? And how early would we like to go back to our regular diet?
As early as possible.
Okay. Now, you're not going to eat before the sunrise. But as soon as the sun rises, you'll be eating. So therefore, the puja has to be finished before. Otherwise, then it'll be, do I eat, do I this, do I that, or while you're doing puja, you're thinking about eating. So Dwadasi, then the puja is done early. Does that make sense? So everything is done perfectly to match nature, to match, like you said, personality and all these different things. Just like in when we're using, when we speak, we try to find the easiest way to say something. And a lot of times we will, within the particular varga of letters, we'll switch them. You know, papa baba or tata dada. Tas and does will switch. You know, or things like that. Or we want to drop something. Just whatever makes it easier. So in this way, language then starts changing and adjusting. But in Sanskrit, it's already worked in. So as soon as these particular words come together in the Sandhi, it changes many times how you would say it. it goes together, something drops off, something becomes blended, all these different things. So therefore you see that Sanskrit doesn't have that problem that from generation to generation it adjusts. You understand? So the Vedic system, it knows how people think, how they work, what they do, and it's already worked in. You know? Just like parents, they see the children as non-different from them, though they're different. But from the parents, they see more the oneness, the child sees more the difference. So the parents, because of the oneness, you know, it's very distasteful if the children are, not respectful. But at the same time is, for the children, because as they grow up, means I learn something, I think I know everything. Right? And so there's always that thing, especially when, you know, anyway, all the way through, but especially when you hit the teenage, you really do sincerely think you know everything. And everybody else is an idiot. Right? So therefore you have to control that disrespectful element within the children. But otherwise it wouldn't be mentioned. Vedas only mention something where there's a problem. Like you notice, with the men it says controlling the senses. With the women it doesn't say control the senses. Right? Because for the men, it's if there's an opportunity for sense gratification, it doesn't matter what the flavor is, they don't care. But for the women, unless the mood and all that matches, they're not. So they always will control the senses in line with what's in line with the mood. You understand? The brahmacharis, menial servant. If it's up to the children, what will they do all day? Play, do nothing, sit around and eat. You know? But so therefore, they regulate their lifestyle, they do menial service, they study. Because these are things that they actually... It's the nature to do at that time, but they would actually rather not do that. You know, it's just like, let's say, grihastha. Take care of guests. Like for a brahmachari, someone pops into their room any time of the day, and they're cool. They sit around, they talk for hours, and that grihastas, no. They have their plans, or this, or that, what they want to do. So many times, unless it's kind of like part of their flavor of their enjoyment, they don't like guests. You know? Like before, you could just pop into somebody's place. You know, it's formal, you take something with you and you drop in for a short time and then leave, unless they're really close. Now, unless you call, unless you made arrangement and call, you don't pop in on site. It's just against the etiquette because people don't like guests. Does that make sense? So that's why for grihastha, taking care of guests is so important. At the same time, they have the maximum facilities, so when they take care of guests, they can do it the best in the way of the widest arrangement. So all the rules about taking care of guests are explained for grihasthas. Because the brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis, yes, they'll also take care of guests, but how much facility do they have? Right? So, you know, you can sit on their bed with them there, and they get out their pot of, you know, that funny pot of water underneath the bed there. They'll drag it out, you know, like that. So nothing fancy, but you know, that's it, kind of it. Unless you're, you know, how you say on this side there, then they can drag out the moody also. But other than that, then right? Does that make sense? No other place in the world do they keep an actual tin of moody under their bed, full tin, you know.
It's an emergency thing.
Yeah, for emergencies. Somehow or another, every day is an emergency. Just like every day is a festival, so every day is an emergency. You know, because the point is that you can't go to Guru Puja if you're dead. So you have to maintain body and soul together. Therefore, before Guru Puja, you have to eat some mudi. It's an emergency. Otherwise, you will die. You know? Yeah. No. Yes. And that, you know, and that's just keeping body and soul together. If you have some leftover samosas or anything else, then you know, hey, you know. Okay. So we won't get too much. So the whole point is they have the facility, just like brahmacharis have the facility for study. So it's arranged. They have place to sit, they have their books, they have their timings, they have everything. It's regulated like that. And so when you describe studying, You describe it in relationship to brahmacharis. Grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis also study, but they don't necessarily have that regulated time and all that. You know, it's that they have to establish it. So therefore, you know, student, celibate student, and menial servant. So the rule is given where, one, it matches the mentality, but it's also takes care of their weakness. Right? You know, just like, let's say, vanaprastha, then renunciation is the main kind of thing. Because as a grihastha, you may or may not have been renounced in, you know, results and things like this. You know, you get involved in everything like that. But as a vanaprastha, renunciate, you just don't get involved. Only if necessary you get involved. Otherwise, it's wet. You want a different blanket? Where were we? Yes, and so therefore they go to the edge of the village or the edge of the forest, and you know they're renounced from these things. They don't get involved. You know, there's so much going on in the community, and they could go, like you see sometimes if they're not trained. Older people, they poke their nose into everything of everybody's business. Right? You know, they're famous for that. But that's the point, is they're not supposed to do that. If you go to them and ask, you know, I have a problem, this and that, okay, what is that, you know, and then you explain it. And you don't even have to get into detail. It's enough that you, because they have so much experience, once you start talking about some detail, they know the whole field. So they don't need to discuss detail, they discuss the field. And then they'll discuss that with you so you understand it in your position. So renunciation is there. It's not about eating fancy, but they know what works for them. You know, how much they eat, what they eat. You know, they've been doing it now for, you know, 25, 30 years. And so they're clear. This works. And whatever it is, that's the nice thing about Vedic system and the Vanaprastha, whatever it is, that's what they do. And so that's what they stick to. Because in the beginning you have to try this, that, or go there, here, there, eat all so many different things. But after a while you figure out most of that doesn't work. You know, it doesn't digest, gives you gas, or you're lazy, like this. So you work out what you like to eat, then you just eat that. You know, whatever it is. You know, somebody's just eating chapati, someone's just eating rice. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. So that renunciation, to just go into that. Does that make sense? And then... then, so, but they do get involved, but it's renounced, right? It's not about them and all that. And while then the sannyasi, then it's indifference. They can be involved or not involved. It doesn't matter. You know, so the vanaprastha is trying to not be involved. But you know, people will come and they're very kind. They take care of them. They're guests and everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so they're indifferent. If something comes up, then they do. If they don't, they don't. So they can be either, you know, right in the city, or, you know, in the city, or out in the forest. You know, for them, whichever works, wherever they are, then that's what they do. Does that make sense? So each one has their specific thing on where their strength and weakness is. So the areas where it says that's where, if they do it, that's their strength. You're like Arjuna, he's known for controlling his senses and everything like that. And so that's his glory. Does that make sense? Or Draupadi, because of her chastity. Right? You know, you don't hear about, yeah, Draupadi had such controlled senses. No, you hear about her chastity and religiosity. And then Arjuna, you hear about control of his senses, how he was, you know, careful to everybody's needs. And that's his glory. So that's the point, is those duties are where the weakness is, but if they're applied, that's where the glory is. So that's what rules and regulations are for, because Krishna being everything, everything has its unique nature, right? He's unique, so everything has uniqueness, right? He has existence, everything has existence, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have to know, okay, this item, in its existence, what's the uniqueness of it? What does it do? What is it, what's the purpose of it? And so we don't necessarily know that. And so we have to learn. So just like in the house, as far as the kids go, living room is for playing, you know, sports. You know, you can play cricket, you can play baseball, you can play football, anything. You know, hockey, yeah, whatever you like. Like that, you know, trampoline, you know, anything. So they have to learn from the parents, no, in this place you don't do that. That's in the backyard. You know? Was that too archaic of an example? Like, nobody has backyards? Or?
Nobody has living room.
Oh, that is funny. Yeah, yeah. So what do you call nowadays where you have a street, then you have a little bit of grass, then you have a sidewalk, then you have more grass, the front lawn, then you have the house, then you have the backyard, then you have the garage and the alley?
Luxury.
Luxury.
Yeah.
Wow.
People don't live like this anymore. Not in the cities.
Those would be suburbs in that then.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not cheap then.
No.
Wow.
Only villas have that.
Really? Because when I grew up, the whole city was like that. Yeah. I mean, everything was like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was the rare thing that you had an apartment building. Those are weird. Mm-hmm. You know, funny little blocks. And wow.
It's
changed. Okay, so bad example. Okay, you go down to that funny little fenced-in area that's all asphalt that they call a park. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and there's two basketball things there and like that, but and it's got the cyclone fencing around it. Yeah, okay. Now we're talking, right? Okay. So, the rule, because we don't know how it deals. We're having to learn from a child, from the parents and from the, you know, the community. Like that, but at the same time as it's Krishna's creation. So how you deal with the creation, we have to learn about that. So as a Brahmin, you learn about that. Then as parents, then you teach your kids that. Right? So that's the whole... So without the rules and prohibitions, one won't know what to do in what situation. One literally will not know what to do. You know, it's just like... When we're reading in Nectar Devotion, then in the conjugal rasa, if a girl's neglected, what is the supposed to be the natural and expected reaction?
Anger.
Right? But you see nowadays when the girl gets angry, many times the boy thinks the thing to do is neglect. She gets angry, he just goes off, does his thing, so who cares, when she cools down I'll talk to her. You know, and so it just creates more, right? Because he's neglected, she got angry, and then he thinks neglect will solve it. That's like, I dropped the brick on my foot, it hurts. So therefore, to solve that, I'll drop another brick. You know, like fire against fire, you know, you have a fire and you pick another fire and they both go out. So I dropped the brick on my foot, I drop another brick, then it'll go back to normal. And hence you have, what is it? Irreconcilable differences, right? Yeah, so that's the thing is that they don't know. So unless the rules and regulations are there, even their just general day-to-day activities won't work. Like that. So that's the whole thing, is these things have all been worked in. So one may think, oh, so many rules, because that's the way it is. Means every morning, you know, it's there, you eat, don't eat, it's okay. You know, you eat, if something comes up, you miss breakfast, or breakfast is later, it works. But if it's a codicy, you know, you're so hungry for eating, and especially grains, you know, at breakfast, when other times you could just skip, or let's say a fast day, it's fasting till noon. So many times you skip breakfast, go till noon. But on the fast day, you're dying, you know. And it's only half day fast. Right? And so in the same way, it's like Dwadasi morning, it's different. So therefore, it's just worked in for the nature that all these are the rules of what you do on Ekadasi, what you do these other days. Like, because if it didn't say, okay, if you're fasting, and it didn't say increase your hearing and chanting, then what would you do during your fasting? lay on your sleep, lay on your bed, staring at the ceiling, thinking how hungry you are. So it's already, these things are already balanced. That's the thing, that it seems that rules and regulations are dry. That's because when the materialist makes them up without reference to the Vedas, they are dry. They're impersonal. They don't actually consider the people. They consider what works good for managing the city by bureaucrats. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say now, they put restrictions on the police. And so those restrictions work very good for bureaucrats. They don't work for the police. You know? So the efficiency of actually maintaining the city, that's not seen to. It's just that, that there's no repercussions that, you know, the guy who sits in the chair has to worry about. So that's the difficulty. So they're dry, they're impersonal, but they're thinking, oh, we're being so personal. You know? Black Lives Matter. Which black ones? You know? Yeah, how black? You know, it's just like that. That means half of the planet is black, but it's only African Americans matter? You know?
The majority is yellow.
Oh, it just depends if you're taking the range. We're just taking there's sickly white, and then there's everything else. You know, so you start at white at one end and yellow at the other. And then you have everything in between, you know, so. Because basically from India all the way over through the Middle East and up, and like that, and Africa, then that's all, and South America, Central South America, they're all what you call colored. Some variety of color. Person of color. Though they don't use that term anymore, it's considered bad. You know. Yeah. Before, means in America, before the slave trade, they didn't care if they were actually indigenous American Indians or African Americans, you know, or anything. They were just darker in color, then they fit into that. So a lot of what was considered black at that time, a lot of them were indigenous American Indians, like that. So they'd all be thrown in together. It's just if you're not from Europe and white, then you were black. You know, unless of course then you were Chinese, then that's another thing. Then you were yellow. Like that. Does that make sense? So you had quite a wide range. Like the Iroquois were very white in color. They were the Northeast, like around New York when they came. They were the guys with the pumpkins and the turkeys and like that. Like that. But as you went farther south, then they became darker. Okay. Yes?
He's telling they're called now black and Asian minority ethnics.
Black and Asian what?
Minority ethnics.
Black and Asian minority ethnics, even though in Sydney 9 out of 10 are from these ethnics, right?
That's how you call them now?
Yeah, he said that's the proper term. It just gets bigger and bigger. Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's funny. The politically correct, you have to get an exactly, no, but we're not quite, oh, no, no, no. So it should be, there's the whites and then there's everybody else. That would be the yeah, depends on how far north you go.
Well, Jews figured it out a long time ago, this boy and this Jew.
Yeah. There's always, I mean it goes way back. There's us and there's them, like that. So whichever one is your us, then everybody else is them. So if you're African American, then whites are them. You know. So it's just whichever way you like to do it. That's why it's so important, is that you're not worried about the body is just going to be your vehicle. What you're doing with it is what you have to see. That's why they're saying it's not by birth. So a person born in a rich family, but they don't act in a cultured way, you know, an aristocratic way, then they're considered friend of the aristocracy. Right? But then let's say they're from a not very nice background, but they act in a cultured way, they're accepted as a gentleman. So the Vedic system is, you know, you go by that. It's what somebody does with what they have. Because some people, you see, the thing is, you always see the aspect, at least I remember, you know, the cliches of the person who's from that, you know, poor background, you know, from the slums and the ghettos, and you know, everybody's harassing them and the discrimination and that. So they decide, you know, I'm getting out of here, and they work really hard. They focus on their education, they go up, they move through the whole system, even though the whole time everyone's bothering them, and until they get to the top, and then, you know, they do nice things, and then people start to recognize, and then they're considered, you know, an inspiration for everybody and all that. At the same time, you have the other kid, you know, the kid next door, exactly the same background and all that. He gives up, he joins a gang, he becomes a thief, he becomes a, you know, drug addict or a drug dealer, you know, and all that, and you know, he's taking care of friends, and, you know, taking care of, you know, how you say, those that are, how you say, not in support of their particular group, you know, and so in the process, a few mushrooms, you know, you also get it, you know, so like this, and so then you get that kind of thing. But what's the difference? It's what you do with what you have, you know. Same way you have. Somebody's wealthy, they could go on and be nice, you know, gentlemen, be an industrialist, be you know, go into some academic area, you know, become a philanthropist, you know, become a demon. You know, so many of the, you know, in literature, the big demons, they're all, you know, so many of them from wealthy backgrounds. Otherwise, how do you support your nonsense? So that's the thing, is what you do with it, that's how you're defined. So the whole thing is that you have a problem based on the external, and then your solution is to base it on the external. You know, again, drop another brick on your toe. Rather than, why don't they switch from that and what somebody does? You know, and so that's the whole point. What are they doing with their life? How are they taking part? So that's why then these rules and prohibitions, they show you how to deal with material energy. It's not just however we feel, but it's what is appropriate to deal with Krishna. Now you're dealing with Krishna, and in that form of Krishna, and that whatever it is, will give this particular result. So you deal properly, you'll get that result. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, a practical example, Krishna as the bottle of water in the refrigerator. Right? So it's a refrigerator and this and that, and it's being used by everybody, it's there in the door. So that means then, you know, a few of the prohibitions are is don't touch it with your mouth. Either pour it into a glass and then drink, or if you're drinking from the bottle, then you don't touch your mouth. Right? And the rule is that when it's empty, you fill it up. You know? And then people try to find a loophole, is they'll drink down to the last, you know, 10 ml, and they won't, I didn't finish it. You know? And then the mother for the next, you know, for dinner that night, then doesn't cook because in the refrigerator there's still, you know, a little piece of that leftover lasagna, like one teaspoonful left, you know, from last night. So, hey, well, it's not finished, so hey, I don't need to cook. But... No?
It's a serious problem, filling waters.
It's everywhere. It's just no one wants to refill it. You know? Yes, a universal problem. Yeah. So that's why there's rules and prohibitions. Yes, there's universal. Yes, yes. This is, now we can make a movement, you know. But hashtag fill the water bottle. You know. Yes.
The statement was made is that we didn't join Srila Prabhupada's movement because of rules and regulations. We joined because spontaneously we were attracted to the chanting of the holy name,
Right.
So then we come, and immediately there's Bhakta program, there's this, there's that, and we just overwhelm.
Right.
So how can we reconcile those two?
Knowing what it's for means this idea that I'm spontaneously that, but are you still spontaneously? So then, that's why rules and regulations are there. Because if you were because when you were spontaneously attracted, you were following the rules and regulations that everybody said, and you were very happy. But then, as that spontaneity goes down, then you notice the rules and regulations. So you know that's what it's mentioned. It's mentioned in Anartha Nivritti. So it's just what they're doing is experiencing that second and third point of Anartha Nivritti. The first part is Utsamayi, right? You're very enthusiastic. You come in contact, it's new and that, and so it just takes up all of your focus and concentration, and it's very exciting. But then after a while, you're going and it becomes more of a regular thing. So then you have, what's it? Ganatardala. Means thick, thin. Sometimes you're enthusiastic, spontaneous, and sometimes you're not. And then, you kind of get past that, then you get to the next stage. And then this is a very popular stage. This is the stage of make up your own philosophy, because you're too attached to Maya and too attached to being recognized as an advanced devotee. So you make up your philosophies. So then that is then, in the Shastra it says, you should give up everything, become renounced and all that, and not be absorbed in the material, give up all sense gratification. At the same time, as Shastra says, engage all your senses and everything in the service of the Lord. So they go back and forth between this, like that. And until they get serious. And then the fourth one is?
Vishaya Sangraha.
Vishaya?
Sangraha. Sangraha means difficulty with controlling the senses.
It's also known as war with Maya. Yeah, it has that thing. That you decide, okay, we're doing this. But, like you said, there's difficulty in doing it, because it's a war. You want to, be engaged in service, and Maya's, what about, before you really used to like to do this, and like that, so all those things. So, then you'll come to the stage where, now Maya's not the problem, but at the same time, you don't actually get done what you want to get, the determination spiritually isn't strong enough. There's no material determination, but the spiritual one's not strong enough. Then when that gets established, that's strong, then from that facility comes, and then we get proud of that facility and could get distracted there. So at each stage you can get distracted. Right? It's enthusiastic or it's not enthusiastic, so I like it or I don't like it. But they're just describing that process. So that it's come to the point where they're noticing there's rules and regulations and all that means they've advanced past the first stage. So that shows the effect of the process. But the point is what's the alternative? You don't follow, means the rule means if you don't follow the rules here, you go out into the material world, I have to follow rules, I don't want to follow rules. You go out in the material world, you have to follow rules. Everything's rules. I mean everything. And at the same time because we know the goal, sense gratification, we put up with those rules. We don't see them so much as rules. But it's the same thing as if you understand what you can gain in Krishna consciousness, then you don't see these as obstacles. So the point is this regulation will be there. Otherwise, then what are you? You come home one day and your cat's there, sharpening its nails on your couch. The next day, it's barking out the window at anything that moves. The next day you see it, sitting in the corner and then flying over to the other corner and chirping. It's like, make up your mind. So here it is, no, I just, whatever I feel like and all of that. Since then they're saying is that I want to be the center of attention, and somehow or another I was spontaneously attracted to this movement, and so I'll add that to my center of attention. But I notice with time, at first I'm I'm, you know, enamored by the whole thing and inspired, you know, like that, to the wonderfulness of it. But then with time I notice there's other people, you know, and somehow or another they don't act in a way that I spontaneously approve of, you know. And so you want them to be regulated so that I can be spontaneous. So we want the regulation, but for everybody else. Just like the same person who says, oh, I was spontaneous on that. Okay, yeah, so, you know, then what do you think the leadership should do about this? Oh, they got a whole list of what the leadership should do. Exactly. You know, this. Nothing to do with them as persons, individuals, as sadhakas, as devotees. No, they have to do all this. Then I can be inspired. And what about other devotees? Yes, you know, this. You know, well, you know, how should we deal with money in the sadhaka? Oh, yeah, like this and that, you know. So that's the whole thing, is that we either follow religion, as we said, or we'll make it up. Because they make up their own, they're more comfortable with it. But the Vedic is made up by someone else. At least the materialistic one in their community is made up with similar-minded people. You know? Well, this one's made up by, you know, the Vedic, you know, who's that made up by? You know, so then it's foreign to them. Oh, we can't do that. We're not this and that. Says, but are you any of these anyway? If we're not all this, then how is it that same person, is he living in his country? Is he living where he grew up? You know, is he following the lifestyle of that? Not necessarily. Many times you see they're on the other side of the planet living a different way. You know, like that. So that's the whole thing, is that it's all foreign to us. The only thing that's natural for us is the Vedic. That's natural. So that's why it says, Krishna's saying, you know, through these rules and regulations. But the point is not, that's just the background. The point is that you should always remember him, directly and indirectly, whatever your circumstance. That's the prominent point. And then following the rules and regulations, that's there to support that, so that it goes smoothly. Because otherwise you're trying to remember Krishna, but if you're not following the rules, then you'll end up with certain obstacles that then will make it difficult to remember. Does that work? Yeah?
Now, as you like to say that the person has the desire to experience the secret.
Desire to know the secret, yes.
If there is no desire,
That's why you associate with those who want to know. You seek out those individuals. So that's what the point is this whole idea is that leadership means just management. It's like, who cares? You know, especially, it's one thing if the leadership is leadership, you know, and they you know, either the leadership who's, you know, just good leaders, or they also have the quality of being able to manage. Then you'll get inspired by that, because then, you know, what will drive them? How to be leaders in a spiritual organization. But if it's just a matter of management, you don't have to be a leader to be involved. So people are driven forward and inspired by leaders, not by managers. They're never, ever, ever inspired by managers. I mean, it's just like there's never a time when it's manager was, you know, sometimes the effect is nicely organized, they appreciate that. But management itself, just common person doesn't notice. But it's persons. I mean, even you have nowadays, everybody has, you know, fans and all that, the celebrities and this and that and whoever is that. It's because there's some inspiration. As a person, so person to person, the inspiration. So a person who, they're expired, then you'll be inspired. But just to say the management at the top, it's like there is no such thing anywhere in the creation that it's like that. I mean, nowhere. We're making, that's what we're saying. You either follow religion or you'll make up your own. It just, there is nothing. No one's inspired that manager's on the top. I'm the manager, I'm running the temple, and then this other manager will come in and, you know, tell me what to do, take zero responsibility and go away. No one's inspired. So that's the whole thing, is that people, it means you have managers, you have to have managers, but they support leadership. They don't control leadership. They do that, then you know is they're not even a manager, they're technically, they're a bureaucrat. But bureaucrats want to control everything because it's easy for them. The papers on their desk are moving how they want. They go from the in to the out, and that, and somebody comes up and, you know, leadership, oh, that's a big problem. That's a whole bunch of papers. Get rid of leaders, get rid of all kinds of problems. Right? Then so many other problems come up because there's no leadership, but that they don't notice because they created it. So it's their own. Listen, you know, is it? There's the saying, make your own bed and then sleep in it. You know? So they're quite comfortable in their own bed.
In Russian, they have a gross variation of that, but I
would... Yeah, no, we don't want to, it's, you don't want to bring that one up. Yes. So that's the whole point, is that they were inspired by Prabhupada, leadership. They were inspired by the other devotees, leadership and all that. All those devotees were following the rules and regulations. So if you're inspired by that leadership, you'll follow just naturally behind them. From Sadhu Sangha comes Bhajana Kriya. Right? So Shraddha, that was the first thing. Then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya. Now, if they're having a problem with Bhajana Kriya, there's a good chance if you check, they're having a problem with Sadhu Sangha. Like that. You know, so, you know, it just, you can just go on and on. But the basic point is that these things are there. Then what, they're once inspired. So, yeah. There is no other auspicious path for those suffering in the material world, because this path produces prema for Bhagavan, Vasudev, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.33. So there's no other good path, because this one will produce prema. But the other one, what's it going to produce? You followed all the rules and regulations, you paid your taxes, you didn't drive while you were drunk, and he's like this and that, and so, and then what? And then you die. And then you start all over again. So, but here, this produces prema. So, at least these restrictions, why? They're restrictions so you don't go off the path to prema. Right? You have a path going to Krishna's lotus feet, and the rules and regulations are don't go off this way, this happens, don't go off that way, that happens. But we think, oh, so many rules, I just want to spontaneously run around how I want. You know, I'll go on the roof, I'll jump off, I'll fly because I feel like it.
No, these things are like protection.
They're like protection. Yes. They're like protection. You know? I mean, otherwise, spontaneous is just, there are no sidewalks. It's just one big road. That's the way it was before, right? You had this big road, there were no cars. Right? So, but you walked on that, you took your carts on there, people brought their horse on there, everything. Then the cars came, because everything moved at a certain speed. Right? But then the car came along, and then they want to move faster, but it was still one road. And the point is, before it was the people's road, and then if you had a car, a cart or that, you were careful of the people. But when the cars come, it's the car's road. People have to move out of the way. I'm in a car. So then they made sidewalks.
Not here.
Huh?
Not here.
That's another thing. So you can see is that they're still following tradition.
Everybody's road except for you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, unless you're in New York, then it's, you know, I'm walking here, you know, that kind of thing.
The dogs.
Huh?
The dogs, they sleep in the middle. They don't even touch. Not an inch.
No, because they know you'll move. Because the ones that didn't learn that, they're not with us anymore. And there's a good chance that the next car comes along, that dog won't be with us anymore either. You know. So there is no other auspicious path. Because what is the difficulty? Why are we suffering? Because of the material conditioning. We give up that conditioning, there is no suffering. Then it naturally is spontaneous. If you naturally do, if we're inclined to do things that are not actually advisable, right? You know, all kinds of mundane stuff. So the rules and regulations are there to keep us from regulate that. So then we'll see, oh, that's a problem, because I want to do all those things. And so it's getting in the way of the spontaneous performance of sense gratification. Even though for sense gratification, you still have to follow the rules. Like, let's say you're walking down the street, you go by a fast food joint, you say, hey, you hungry? I'm hungry. I'm going to get this. And then they follow the rules. You go there, go up to the counter, get your coupon, go to the other thing, then they make the thing, then you go sit. You can't just go anywhere. You can't stand there at the counter and eat, you know, and look at them while they're doing it. They say, go sit over there. No, why? Why? I want to send in my spontaneous... No, no one does that. You know? And so... That they just follow, they follow the rules spontaneously because they see the results. So the same thing is once we, and so the rules keep us on that path, but once we get the taste for serving Krishna and all that, then we'll also spontaneously be following all these rules. Right? Does that make sense? To the point you get to the Brajbasis, that it's their lifestyle that others then document. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have somebody who's really good at something. Let's say like some kind of sportsman, right? A sports person, yes. And let's say in soccer, right? Or football. Can't say anything these days. Because in America, football means that fun, that ball that looks like the rugby ball, but it has more rules than rugby. Like that. So then, in there, they do all kinds of things. How they dribble the ball, how they run with the ball, how they kick the ball. They do things that no one else does. And for them, it's just they're doing it. But now others then see that, then they study that, they give names to it, they show the techniques how they do and all that. And then, when you go for a coach, they teach you and all these things. So what was spontaneous for, you know, one of these guys, you know, like Pele or something, then for everybody else, then it's rules and regulations. You know, you kicked it, it went straight, it didn't curve. Like, I've seen them, they kick the ball, they're standing in front of the goal for, what is it? You know, you get to kick because of something, penalty shot, I think. Right? They're standing right exactly in front of the goal. All the guys are standing up there in front trying to block everything, you know, the things like that. They kick the ball, it seems like, towards the corner. I mean, literally, it goes way out there. And everybody's thinking, wow, he really blew the shot. And the thing spins back around and goes right straight into the goal. They never did that before. It's a new thing. So then now people will be studying that. So you kicked it, it went straight. Oh, because you have to do this and your toe and your angle and your knee and how you do and your hip. And like they get into a whole thing. So that's how the things. What Brajbasis do spontaneously, then in Dwarka, then there's some rules for it. Vaikuntha, it's all rules. When it gets down here, then...
No rules again.
Yeah, no rules again. Yeah, no rules and you stay here. So that's the thing, we use the rules and regulations to get back to. Yeah. Does that make sense? So you can't get away from the rules. You know, even against very strict rules. Very respectful. Very respectful. Like, you know, like you see the gang guys, they always deal nicely with their mother. They're never disrespectful. So it's... Because they have rules and respect.
The pirate rules are the most talked
about. What?
Most talked ones are the pirates. Their rules, like you want to say something to somebody, what kind of message you want to send, whether you want to give a black one or a...
Oh, yeah, all these different things. Yeah, yeah. Yes, everybody has their rules. Yes. Okay. This passage begins with what should be rejected, vyakireka, followed by the positive rule. O King, therefore, at all times and all places, without restriction, men should hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord with full concentration of mind. That's what you should do. So you're avoiding things that will not allow you to do this. Okay. This concluding passage shows the positive rule, anvaya. It should be done at all times everywhere. This is in the Chatushloki. Thus, in the Chatushloki, through teachings about knowledge of the Lord, realization, prema, and bhakti, Bhagavan is taught. Right? So they're trying to get us through Bhagavan, because otherwise we'll deal with the material nature as if it's ours to deal with. We can deal however we want. So that's the thing. We want to spontaneously deal with Krishna's energy however we feel like. But then it's a matter of, no, it's Krishna. He's a person. You deal with him how he likes. Just like you can't deal with another person however you like. Right? You have to deal with what's appropriate. Otherwise, that's where exploitation and that comes up. You know, bad behavior, lack of culture, because I'm not dealing according to what's the proper personal ways of dealing. So then we're starting to get adjusted to that this material nature is Krishna's. And so therefore, that's why he's saying it's all about Bhagavan. Right? The teachings that about knowledge of the Lord, realization, means then you're applying it, then prema, bhakti, Bhagavan is taught. The word Bhagavan is found here. Bhagavan, gratified by his worship, showed Brahma Mahavaikuntha, to which nothing is superior, which is free of suffering, confusion, and fear of offenses, and which is praised by the devatas who can constantly see the self. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.9. Right. So there's no suffering, confusion, or fear of offenses like that, because you're not doing anything wrong. Everything's properly in line with Krishna's energy. There's no confusion. It's all about Krishna. There's no offenses because it's not about yourself. Offenses generally come up when you consider yourself over others. Or you don't consider others in any case. But Brahma saw the Lord. Brahma saw the Lord. The Lord of all the devotees, the Lord of Lakshmi, the Lord of sacrifice, and the Lord of the universe, served by his chief followers such as Sunanda, Nanda, Prabala, and Arhana. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.15. The speaker of the Chatushloki is clearly said to be Krishna, in accordance with Shrutis and Tapanis. The speaker is not Narayana. His Amsha, situated on the Garbhodaka ocean. Therefore, because Krishna spoke it, the Mahapurana is called Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said. I meditate upon that pure, spotless, supreme form, Krishna, who is free from suffering and death, and who previously revealed this incomparable lamp of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Srila Vyasa revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadev Goswami. And Sukadeva mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikit. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.19. Here the word Param in Satyam Param means the speaker, Bhagavan, Krishna. The word Parasya distinguishes him from Vishnu in the following. Mahavishnu, an expansion of Krishna, Parasya, is time. Swabhava, effect and cause. Mahatattva, the five gross elements. False ego, the three gunas, the senses, the universal form. The totality of jivas, the individual jivas as non-moving and moving beings. All of these are related to the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42. Right, so we're showing an expansion of... So as an expansion, he takes care of all these aspects. The whole Mahatattva, all the breakdown, the living entities, the modes of nature, everything how it works. The word Bhagavan is used to refer to the speaker of Bhagavatam in the following. Bhagavan, Krishna, first revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. At that time, Brahma, frightened by material existence, was sitting on the lotus flower that had grown from the Lord's navel. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.10. Bhagavan, Krishna, after showing Mahavaikuntha, showed the Purana to Brahma, situated on the lotus. This follows the narration in the second canto. The Lord spoke thus to Brahma. Riti, having given the essence of all knowledge through the Chatushloki Bhagavatam verses, next, it is shown that all the Vedic scriptures conclude in realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Chatushloki is there. It shows how it's all about concludes in the Lord and about always being absorbed in the Lord, right? That bhakti to the Lord. And now he's going to show how all scriptures culminate in realization of the Lord. So it's not just the Chaturshloki. So he's, you know, showing that the Lord is there explained, Bhagavan is in all the scriptures. Then showing that the Chaturshloki, that's the essence of all that. And then now showing how all scriptures are explaining that also. Anucheda 109. Therefore, the conclusion of all scriptures is Bhagavan, Krishna. Sarvaischa Vedai Paramo Hidevo Jigyaso Nanyo Vedai Parasidhyet Tasmad Enam Sarva Vedan Aditya Vicharya Cha Gyatum Ichena Mumukshuhu. By all the Vedas, one should learn about the Supreme Lord. No other person is proved by the Vedas. Having studied about him from the Vedas, reflected on him, the person desiring liberation should desire to realize him. Chaturveda Siksha. And so it means from the Chaturveda, then this is the actual instruction that we're trying to get. Yam Sarvadeva Ana Manti Mumukshavo Brahmavadinas Cha. All the devas, persons desiring liberation and proponents of Brahman respect that Lord. The Sringa Tapani Upanishad. Sarve Veda Tad Padam Amanti Tapamsi Sarvani Chayat Vadanti. All the Vedas worship his feet. All austerities speak of him. Katu Upanishad 1:3:15. Na Vedavin Manute Tam Brihantam Sarvanu Bhutam Atmanam Samparaye Tam Tvau Panishadam Purusham Prichami. Knowers of the Veda at the time of death do not know the great Lord perceived in all beings. I inquire about the Lord who is known in the Upanishads. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3:9:26. I alone am known by all the Vedas. I am the maker of the Vedanta, the conclusion of the Vedas, since I alone know the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So he's the conclusion. He made it. It's about him. Siddhante Punar Eka Eva Bhagavan Vishnus Samastagama Vyapareshu Vivechana Vyatikaram Niteshu Nishchiyate. The one Lord Vishnu is ascertained in all philosophy, all scriptures, and all conclusions of discussions. Padma Purana. Sarva Nama Vidheyascha Sarva Vede Ditaschasa. He is called by all names and praised by all the Vedas, Skanda Purana. Nata Sma Sarva Vachasam Pratishta Yatra Shasvati. We offer respects to the Lord who is the eternal foundation of all words, Vishnu Purana. Sarva Vedan Setihasan Sapuranan Sa Yuktikan Sa Pancharatran Vijaya Vishnur Geyo Na Chanyata. Understanding all the Vedas, Itihasas, Puranas, all logic and Pancharatric scriptures, Vishnu alone is to be known, Brahmatarka. Thus all the Vedas concludes that Bhagavan is supreme. The Lord himself says, Mam Vidatte Vidatte Mam Vikal Pyapo Yate Tvaham Etavan Sarva Vedarta Shabda Astaya Mam Vitam. The Vedas indicate me as sacrifice and the Devas. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. What is produced and destroyed in the worlds is me alone. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.43. Shrutis establish Datte, me as the form of sacrifice and as the form of all the devatas, Abhidatte. So he is sacrifice and he is the devas. And he is everything, and he is what is remains after everything is wound up. Tasmat va etasmat atmano akasha sambhutaha. From the Lord, Atmana, endowed with the energies of tamas and other items, having produced pradhan and the rest, down to ahankara, rose ether, Taittiriya Upanishad. What is produced in the world, ether, etc., and destroyed, vikalpya apohyate, is me. It is not separate from me, since everything is part of me, the Lord speaks. Oh, this is the end.
Yeah,
I'd still put the thus in there.
Yeah, that's fine. I just missed this one.
And also, if you put this down here, you know it's the end. Put it on its own. Sarva Sambhadini. Now his commentary.
There are enough quotations to prove that.
Yes, so there. So now he'll explain. Like that. By all the Vedas, one should learn about the Supreme Lord. One should consider how all scriptures conclude in Bhagavan. There are two types of Veda, mantra and brahmana. Mantra is of two types, those praising Bhagavan and those praising devatas. The first type directly shows Bhagavan. The second type has Bhagavan as a limb of karma and worship, with worship of the Lord for other goals. Right? So if when you're worshiping the Lord for other goals, then you have the forms of the devatas. But the point is it said that's wrong, since he's the one giving all goals. So you should worship him. Right? So if you do have material desire, better you worship him. But at the same time, it's better you worship him without material desire, then you'll get prema. That's eternal, because anything else is going to be temporary. Does that make sense? So if they're inclined towards Bhagavan but still have material desire, then you worship in that way. And even if not, you do. But those who are committed to and don't even recognize the Lord, then they have the devatas.
Yes. These two segregations of the mantra and brahmana, is it like the Bhagavat and the...
Mantra and brahmana. See, each Veda, there's four Vedas, but each Veda has four divisions. So you have the mantra, Samhita, which is all the verses. So we say Rig Veda, then we mean the Rig Veda Samhita. And that has, 10,000 verses or whatever it is. And so then that's just the verses, nothing else. Then you're going to have the brahmanas, which then explain how those are used in ritual. With this one, then you chant this mantra, and you use this spoon, and all these different things, and you stand here, you kneel, or you go around, all these things. That's the brahmanas, like how the rituals are done. Then from the brahmanas, you get the Dharma Sutras and the Griya Sutras. The Dharma Sutras then are what's the proper etiquette and everything you do. The Griya Sutras, how you function within family life, right? So that gives rise to Dharma Shastra. Right, and so then that takes care of that. Then the third section is called Aranyakas, which then gives all the metaphysical explanation of what's going on and all that, and so then you function in that way, and then the Upanishads, they give the philosophical meaning of the verses, like what does the Veda mean? That's the Upanishads. So you can say, the Vedas, it says so many things, but what they're saying, that's what the Upanishads are explaining. Then the Upanishads are explained in Vedanta Sutra, that's explained in Bhagavatam. So what Bhagavatam explains, that's what the Vedas explain. Is that... Brahmanas are three types, Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. Since karma is insentient and thus not independent, it is the Lord who gives the results of karma, right? So the karma doesn't give it itself. Thus, ultimately, even Karmakanda indicates the Supreme Lord, right? So people who talk about now, they understand karma, there's action and reaction, but they don't understand why does it work? Why is it so consistent? Right? Like that. In worship, upasana kanda, other devatas are worshipped. Steady worship of Bhagavan is included in dhyana kanda. But upasana kanda also indicates Bhagavan since the devatas are his servants. Dhyana kanda has two parts indicating Brahman and Bhagavan, since both are actually a single conscious entity. In dhyana kanda, the word dhyana means both knowledge and bhakti. The word dhyana is predominantly used to mean impersonal dhyana. That's predominantly how it's used. Just as the word Kaurava usually means Dhritarashtra and his brothers, but it means anyone who's coming in the Kuru dynasty. So Shantanu is also Kaurava. Like that. Does that make sense? Parikit Maharaj is Kaurava. Like that. Impersonal Brahman may also ultimately points to Bhagavan since it indicates the Lord Sarup in a general way. Vedangas are explained as methods for worshipping Bhagavan. Siksha teaches hand movements and intonation for reciting prayers to Vishnu. Right, what's the proper, how the words come together, and so then what tones you get. Right, and then there's also hand movements. You either do it on the fingers, or you can move the hands, you can also move the head, like that. But the point is as you go up, then, you know, up, down, you know, when it goes sideways, it goes, how do you say, lower, and then you have the where they go, so that's, you move like this, or it means you do the, how you say? You know, this is Anudatta, Sorita, Udatta, and then when you do that other one, you go like this, or you go all the way down, and it's like, Lo Masham, and you go like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Kalpa gives rules for the order of that recitation. Right? So that means you're going to perform a ritual, then which ones you say first, which ones second, you don't just say it however you want. Vyakaran and grammar is useful for correct expression, so that you know what you're saying and you'll have the right attitude and you'll be thinking in the right way at the right time. Nirukta is for understanding the meanings of the words. Jyotish is knowledge for selecting proper times for festivals of Vishnu, right? It's for doing that kalpa. Chandas is for knowledge of the meters for Vishnu mantras. Right? So everything is there for understanding how it all connects to Krishna. Right, you know, as the basis is there, then there's a practical application, but it's always, you see, is to Krishna.
What would be the difference between Siksha and Chanda?
Chanda is the meter. Meter means is the long and short, and the Siksha is how that's pronounced, what tone it does, because we're talking about the Veda. So every syllable has a tone. Right? We're used to yeah, I don't quite remember it because I know the run. Like we're used to it here, just tasmat va etasmat atmano akasha sambhutaha. You know, but it's, you know, it'll have tasmat va etasmat atmano akasha sambhutaha, like this. It'll have notes, and there'll be exact notes. And if you don't use that note, it means something else. So the grammar then shows how that goes together, and then you know, because it has that note, it has this meaning. Like Brahma, then can mean Bhagavan, can mean Brahman, can be Lord Brahma, can mean just, you know, the jivas or material energy, depending upon how it's intonated. Does that make sense? So the Vedic Sanskrit has its specific intonations. And those intonations then make it what, you know, how you say, what it is, what it actually, what, so you know what the word is. Then you have the nirukta, so you know the background of the word. So then the like vocabulary, like that. Then grammar, how that's all put together, so that you understand. So that way then you're pronouncing it properly. Then in chanda, there's a certain meter and how it works. Like Bhagavad Gita, you have that eight, Sri Rama Rama Rameti Rame Rame Manorame. That, so that has a particular form. You change and put in another syllable, then you get, you know, what is it? You know, Tadanubhavat?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just don't remember anymore. You know, Bhikshamapi Haloke, because there's 10 in there instead of, or 11 instead of 8. So then you know, properly how to chant it and all that. Does that make sense? You know, then it comes out nice. It sounds good. Yes?
The Nachi Shastra, first they give all the rules, and then the last, what is mentioned is the 6 aspects of recitation. That's where, like, in general in English, we only talk about the last aspect, that how to deliver a speech.
Right.
And where you pause a little bit and all.
Right.
Before all this, and all the whole grammar is there, create that effect so that everybody is in the same line. Where to pause and why to pause there, why not somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like in English, we dominate abruptly, what sounds nice and what...
Yeah, yeah. Or like Australian, then you kind of go up at the end, you know. You know, while in American or British, that would be a question. But they're making a statement because, you know, they want to say it, but they don't want to disturb anybody, you know. Yeah, we could kind of, you know, maybe do this, you know. Well, you ever heard? No? Okay. Other scriptures following the Vedas conclude in Bhagavan because of what will be explained. Both Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa, derived from Karma and Jnana Khandas, conclude in Bhagavan. The logical system of Gautama, Karnada, and Kapila end in Bhagavan, since they accept the existence of the Lord and material and spiritual categories. Patanjali ends in Bhagavan, since the system teaches worship of the Lord. Right, so that's the 6 schools. The Smritis follow the 3 khandas of the Veda, which were already analyzed. Alankara, Kama Tantra, and Gandharva music conclude in the Lord, since they reach perfection in realizing the sweetness of the Lord's pastimes. Right. So in other words, Alankara means is going to be your kavya poetry. You know, like that presentation, how you speak like that. Kama Tantra is going to be the 64 arts. So all arts, and then Gandharva, then specifically music, and that all these will end in glorifying the Lord. Niti and Shilpa reach their perfection in serving the Lord. Like, so Niti is your practical, your tactical or even mechanical ways that how you're going to apply services in that, considering your situation, people, everything. So it's going to conclude in serving the Lord. And Shilpa means you're going to build things, you know, in a way that's nice for serving the Lord. Ayurveda and Dhanurveda conclude in the Lord, since without worship of the Lord, they become useless. Right? So you just make the body nicely, or you know, establishing dharma, establishing justice, but if it doesn't end in the Lord, what's the use? You maintain the body, and then if you don't become Krishna conscious, it's all lost. So you work the whole life, you know, taking care of your health, and then you die, and then next life you don't, you know, it may be something else. Does that make sense? You know, it says, yes, you did nicely, and so in that way you practiced nicely for that, but at the same time maybe you criticized others because they weren't, and offended others. So then next life maybe you'll have good health, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have access to Ayurveda, maybe you won't. You know? But you served Ayurveda nicely, so at some point it will come out once the bad effects go away. You know? But you've missed the point. They become useless.
All the 14 books are explained.
Yes, so all the 14 books we went through. So, yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.